Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Not only is this a Halloween special here while we're recording this thing, not while it's released. I mean, we might even hear doorbells. I'm just kidding. I actually disabled my doorbell right before we started recording so that we didn't have any trick-or-treaters interrupt the recording. Thinking ahead. But it is also number 50 for us. 50.
Can we restart? I didn't disable my doorbell.
Did you not?
That was a good idea. Number 50, bro.
50.
Up to 20,000 downloads now. That's a big deal.
Big deal.
It's a real big deal. Happy Halloween, buddy. You look awful. Is that part of your costume?
Dang. You were waiting on that one? You were like, I got to say
something. That just came to me.
As soon as we get on the feed, we got to say something.
You can't block this one out.
You didn't respond to the Twitter one.
Oh, was I supposed to be a part of that?
Of course. I gave my input, which I've had that joke. I think I've actually already used it, so...
I had heard that verbally from you before, but my bad, dude. Mine is, can you write that? It's just like everything.
What kind of costume is?
It's an ugly one. Like, it's a don't know the personnel one that, ugh.
All right, so bear with me. I know you'll bear with me because it's an Office reference. For folks that don't watch The Office,
Why don't you?
I feel like Chad Morris kind of goes into every week like Creed Bratton did that one year on Halloween where he just happens to be covered in blood. And he's like, oh, it's Halloween. That's Chad Morris, but Chad Morris goes into the office and he goes, oh, we got a football game.
I'm not ragging on Morris. Morris is in there doing work, bro. It's the coordinators.
It's the coordinators for right
Until
now.
Until it's not. Well, but going into that,
he worked on them being part of the staff and still being part of the staff. However, I will say this week that we're looking forward to is probably the most excited I am for a Razorback football game since
2015 against Texas.
Probably. No, I'm honestly probably the first game here, and then Portland State happened. And I was like, yep, all right, cool. Awesome. Not. But
I actually don't. I'm calling you out. I don't think that neither one of us really thought that way after the Portland State. Everybody was freaking out, and I think me and you were pretty sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, we probably still were, honestly, if we go back and listen to those.
First game, looking back and stuff. I mean, that's first game, you know.
You go back and listen to those, and I probably give off the appearance that I was smoking that good, which I wasn't. Never have, never will.
Fun disclaimer there.
Yeah, fun disclaimer. You know, whatever. Do you there on that side of things. But I don't, where probably, if I was going to legitimately answer that, I definitely drank some Kool-Aid after the second win, I guess.
Colorado. We weren't mad about Ole Miss either, dude.
We weren't mad about Ole Miss.
I don't really think we got mad till probably, San Jose State.
Yeah.
Was that?
That might be just kind of where it was at. But I wasn't excited for the San Jose State game.
Well, anyway, besides all that BS, why are you excited, Dylan?
We get to see some of these players that...
I know.
Supposedly. I mean, that's just what we're assuming. Don't forget, they can still do something in the aspect of just sticking with the same crap.
I'll tell you what, you can write this down, you can put it in the rough cuts. If we don't see KJ Jefferson in this game, you will officially have me on the clean house, get rid of Morris bandwagon.
Yeah, right.
Because that would be the dumbest thing that he could do. He has an opportunity to get the fans back in his good graces, show everybody what everybody's been wanting to see since week two. Don't agree with that, but... If you don't do football right. What does he have? Why in the hell do we see Hicks or Starkle for the rest of the season?
I don't know. if we do see them in any capacity besides holding a clipboard and getting the younger kids ready. Like, if they come onto the field, that is an issue. I don't care. Third, fourth, blowout, whatever it will be, we do not see Starkle or Hicks. If we
I feel bad for Hicks. That sucks, grad transfer, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Starkle, you can grad transfer somewhere. We don't need that anymore.
Well, he is a grad transfer here.
He's not a grad transfer. Yeah. He has 2 years eligibility. How can he be a grad transfer?
He graduated in 3 years.
Oh, okay. But he still has an extra year of grad eligibility.
Yeah.
He can transfer.
Yeah, kind of.
Whatever. I don't care. Get out of here. We got things that we need to take care of here. And I'm not even a huge fan of seeing John Stephen Jones. I mean, earlier in the year, yes. But at this point, we need to see the future.
Yeah, that's what we've been building up to the last 2 weeks. So he's on here. Use everything you got and use those four games up. And I guess the only thing we won't be seeing is Chase Hayden, because he is going to sit out and redshirt this year because he's already used his four games, but he's not transferring. Okay.
Yeah, and that's don't you like how they have to put that in there?
I mean, here's what we've heard. We've got a guy from Arizona State, and this is strictly running backs. We've got a guy from mm-hmm. Arizona State that is transfer, Traylon Smith. Is
that? Yes, something.
And he does. I mean, for what we saw in Red, White, and the Beanie Bowl, and wherever you want to call that thing, I think.
Dude's got talent.
Dude's got talent. He's got a nice little burst, some speed there. He looks every bit of it. So, yeah. And then we
is this you saying you don't understand Hayden not leaving?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking we're saving eligibility for him. So, I mean, if that's the idea, then it's the long-term goal on this thing. So, we're looking at Traylon Smith, Spivey. I don't think we have anyone in this class that has committed yet.
No, I don't think so.
And you wanted me to mention John Oliver, the savior of the Arkansas football program. No.
Earlsworth way.
Oh, man.
But hopefully we get Boyd back.
Yeah.
I feel draft stock-wise, that can only help. Potential injury-wise, that's always a scary decision to make.
I mean, he hasn't had a clean season. I mean, this goes all the way back to, you know, if you watch Last Chance U, he's banged up during that.
He didn't play the first few games of that because of injury.
So yeah, it's definitely one of those deals that NFL scouts are marking that down, especially when you are on Netflix having problems with it.
Yes.
It doesn't even matter at this point if you're having problems with it at Arkansas.
No, it really doesn't. But I'm not going to mention the receivers because you jumped on me last time I tried to talk about them, saying why do we need to see them. I think it's always a good opportunity to see everybody you have not had a chance to see in actual, still in some form or fashion, meaningful games.
Yeah.
If we didn't have LSU in these last four, dude, we could sit here and try to sprinkle some optimism and like, hey, what if KJ took us to a bowl game? How cool would that be?
Here's the problem that I really have with this deal. I understand seeing the recruits. I like the rule of the full four-game rule, but in this aspect, it's almost like, okay, we definitely know where this season went. So these last four games, we're going to just basically give Chad Morris a pass. And you will see that from media that are in the pocket, because there are definitely guys that try to push out the sugarcoat, and there's people that try to just get you the facts on that kind of thing.
Right.
If it's a misquote or they're trying to say that a guy didn't say that, maybe he was backtracking on a statement, which we'll get onto later. So the problem that I have with it is I feel like some folks, and it's going to be either which way, is it's going to be a cop-out the four games. Like, we shouldn't judge Chad Morris for what happens for these next four games because he's getting ready for next season.
Can I say something? I think these last four games are the ones he should be judged on the most.
Exactly. Because What?
This is his guy.
This should be his guy. This should be everyone that he got. I don't care. These are your ride or dies, essentially, at this point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no, seriously. This is his, probably his most legitimate dress rehearsal he's had since he's been here.
Right. So, where do you sit if they show out a little bit? I mean, Mississippi State is beatable.
They're beatable. Everybody left is beatable except for LSU,
right?
Realistically speaking.
Right. So they show out, run something that looks kind of familiar as an offense. Defense, like I said, as long as they get some help and aren't on the field constantly, you do all right. They are going to give up scores in this kind of, but we're hoping for a swing of a turnover or something of that nature, and that right. the offense can take that momentum and give us that push. At this, how this team is built, you have to kind of, you know, bite your tongue or take your grain of salt, whatever you want to think of when you watch the defense. Because when they're clicking, we're just kind of waiting for it. Because something will happen. The defense has proven that there will be one little thing or a turnover or something that can go our way in terms of that. I mean, they are a scoring defense. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to be in place.
Yeah, the first four games especially, we've ragged on the defense a lot this season. However, piggybacking off what you was just talking about, the first four games at least this season, if the offense was worth a damn, the defense set us up for success.
Oh, yeah.
Many times. Yep. So, I agree with you there. I still think our defensive run game is just atrocious for the most part, but because most of our turnovers have been interceptions. And I think that's been every scoring touchdown for the defense was a pick six, right?
Right.
I don't think we have any scooping scores. Sosa did, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was a scooping score.
But anyway, grand scheme of things, this should be where – how many young guys? Greg Brooks, where's he at with his?
He's had to have used up his. I've seen
you
him
think
on,
he has?
Yeah, I've seen him on the field way too much.
Okay.
So I think just the names that we mentioned before, Zach Samos, Jackson, is it Lyman? Is it Jackson?
Carter
and Jackson, right?
Enoch. Put everybody out there. I mean, obviously, the defense you can kind of keep that the same, just get a little bit more rotation in.
Is Catalan Byrne? I know he's been in a game. He was in last week, I believe. So.
I feel like he probably has too, but we more so than anything though we're looking at the offense. Like you said, our defense has made plays, and even last week they didn't. I mean, the offense put them in bad positions right off the bat. So, mm-hmm. I mean, our defense is given. I mean, defense is bend all the time anyway. So you got to have the hope that you have. We're a lot, not a lot, but we are similarities to a lot of previous LSU teams. Solid deep, well, again, similar, not exactly the same, but defense is keeping you in stuff and the offense can't move the ball.
Right.
And you see what LSU's doing now with an offense or with a quarterback. Nothing's changed on that offense other than just having a good quarterback. Same skill at receiver, same, well, not maybe not a Fournette, but, you know, same running back positions. Just got a quarterback that can sling it around.
Mm-hmm. Still need a little bit more meat and depth on the offensive line for guys that are
right.
quality side, because with the stuff that they're doing, there's a lot more, you know, you're not just going up there in zone schemes when you're talking about the block assignments and stuff of that nature.
A lot of moving for them big fellas.
Yeah, so there definitely needs to be some cleaning up, and we've got some young guys that are getting forced into it, but there's also a good majority of Bielma guys, and one of those being Jackson, who we haven't...
Complete different.
Yeah, Jackson, who we haven't talked about, who is... Now stepping away, retiring. I don't necessarily know where I sit with those anymore, but where he's at in his football career, it would definitely seem like it's more of a retirement, because there's not too many options, and he's definitely had a rough go with it with the injuries and everything of that sort. So,
you know, we talk about that stuff now. Yeah, it's always tough, but nowadays there's that XFL right around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you might rest up for a year or two and give them a call, and if they're still around, I mean, I think
more faith in this one than the AAF.
Yeah,
that was.
I definitely have more faith in that, but But, I mean, the Arena Football League is now pretty much folding as well for whatever was left.
That's dead, isn't it?
I mean, there was still glimmers of it, I believe, in the Northeast, and that is, they have officially ceased operation now. So, I don't know how long that run officially was, but it's tough. That's a good bit. So, it's tough to keep
that going. Around for a while. Mm-hmm. They used to have video games of that. I think they made one or two of the video games. I hated them, but...
Yeah, he was there. I can't remember what their stat was on it, but there was actually a stat because it was like he was on an NCAA game, the Boise State quarterback or whatnot, and he ended up being on an Arena Football cover too.
Statue of Liberty guy?
Yeah, I think so. And it was one of those deals where it was like the only player to do that. But it's like, do you want that honor? I mean, because at one point, NCAA, like, it pained me back in the day when McFadden got picked to be on the cover. Right. Not because I was a curse guy, but because it was an Xbox 360. And it was only on Xbox 360. So they came up with the idea that, hey, we could get them, you know, on multiple platforms and have different ones and everything. It's like, but I'm an Arkansas fan, and you're going to put DMAC on the Xbox 360. I'm a PlayStation guy.
If that had been adult Dylan when that happened, he would have took his happy ass down to the Walmarts and got him an Xbox just so he could have a Darren McFadden Xbox game.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean I don't have the game.
I meant console and game.
I didn't say that. I mean, it's the same game that's in there. It's
Sucker's
just
still in its wrapping, too, isn't it?
Let's not talk about this, okay? But if anyone does want a pristine... Xbox 360, Darren McFadden, NCAA football. I have one. If Darren McFadden wants to sign it, I have one.
no pressure, listeners, but if you happen to know Darren McFadden, tell him to listen in, and we got this text line, 479-308-8605. We'll set up a meeting.
I mean, is he going to get some back pay? I'm just kidding. We won't go into that.
We could.
we could definitely go into it. But I feel like we need some more details to come out because obviously we know they were told to do it, but then they basically tossed it off onto conferences and the universities.
I think that was a smart decision, though.
I think it is, but they're also going to get upset with it because the NCAA is going to be like, wait a second, how are we going to get ours? How are we going to get in on this?
You sell the game. EA is not hurting for money. But, again, we'll get more information, and then we'll talk about that. So, anyway, I guarantee you, Dylan,
this segue
is going to be a good show.
Yeah, because of that segue right there.
You like that?
You want to jump right into the Monday morning press conference, huh?
I do. You actually got to listen to it in totality there, but we got Chad Morris guaranteeing a win against Mississippi State this weekend.
Yeah, 4-minute mark on the YouTube video if you want to go back and watch it. Just because apparently there was some controversy. And
of course there was.
If he was some misquotedness or whatever it will be. But it wasn't a case of we are going into this week to win the game, as some people were saying, which I sure hope you go into game week planning on winning the game.
Right. Yeah, you hope.
No, he said it. He said we're going to win this game.
I got another question, sir.
All right.
Is it because he's playing his guys and he knows?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, no.
Why?
No.
So is this strictly that something happened in this amount of games? I understand learning the system and everything and getting reps in practice. But if you have this much faith in your guys, I understand the 4-game rule and everything. But at this point, why? I mean, halfway through, why wouldn't you do it? If you had 6 games left.
So – in my head, if it were me doing this, and again, this was the last episode we talked about
this. This can only be because of the handshake or whatever we talked
exactly.
about.
Exactly. It has to be a Morris Juracek understanding, like, dude, you got 3 or 4 years guaranteed, but definitely not getting fired after 2. I think it makes sense in the aspect of, you know, this season isn't going to be a great season. Now, I don't understand if you have an opportunity to turn things around enough to get a bowl win in your second year, that'd be kind of good for you. But, again, devil's advocate here.
I just don't get if you can sit there in practice and see your dudes that you recruited do doing what you want. Like, if you're seeing that every day in practice, even if it's against your twos, threes, whatever it may be, and you're seeing it like, oh, man, can't wait till the last four games of the season so I can actually do this.
Do you now? You're that's taking it into like I'm waiting on the last four games.
Right.
He might have been trying to get things done, and you got to keep in mind our first five games. There was no bigger difference than like 10 points or something.
I mean, yeah. So
our first four losses or whatever it was, but I mean, he might have thought maybe this isn't the time, or maybe we can get it done. Or again, I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't necessarily agree with this 100%, but. This can be his dress rehearsal, like we said, man. This can be where it's definitely his job.
It's definitely put up or shut up time, and it starts absolutely right here. And again, I don't want to hear that we need. He doesn't, you know. Oh well, this was all scrimmages and shit. These games still matter, people. Win loss still matter. Attendance still matters. As we have Cannon out there trying to pack it. God bless him, every bit of him using going, that hashtag, because he's probably the only person in America that can rally this fan base and actually get some butts in seats. So, fully support that, but it is a tough task.
Him or KJ Jefferson siding.
KJ Jefferson siding, which, oh, man. It's weird, because I definitely, heart, I don't know which one's telling me this, but KJ Jefferson's going to be in the game, but there's also...
That's your brain.
There's also just a little bit of me that's like,
Wait, no.
Yeah.
I think that's your heart.
It's my heart.
Because your brain's like, this shit is not making sense from week one, so it's probably going to be...
Yeah.
Ty Story's going to show him, like, when did this happen?
We have a...
Good recruiting trick there, sir.
We have a late transfer from... for the Western Kentucky game week, and it's going to be Dole Felly.
I just was, before we started recording, watching the Southeastern State Louisiana Mud Dogs. I heard Bobby Boucher is on his way, guys.
Oh, man. You're going to win us that bourbon bowl.
So, but there wins, like you're saying, wins do matter. There's a huge difference between 5-7 and 2-10 again.
It doesn't. Doesn't change me, I will say that.
See, that's just you. I don't know what it is about you, because I've given you plenty of credit before on this show with your football mind, and this is where Dylan loses that a little bit and goes homer, because this is your Razorbacks. This is your Hogs. Mm-hmm. This is basically until you got married and had kids, this was your life. So...
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you. I'm the same way as you as far as that's concerned, but at the same time, I can separate myself a little bit, and I will feel so much better going into next season, 5-7, because we saw KJ and Spivey, you know, all the future, instead of going 2-10 because we kept Hicks and Starkle out there.
Okay. So, it's so weird because the change needs to happen. So, I love throwing the hypotheticals that you do at me. So, you're saying
sometimes you do. Sometimes you yell at me.
Yeah, 5-7. You're saying 5-7. So obviously that's not LSU. We've got that.
Yeah,
so
no, that's not happening.
We get those three wins. Best one being over Missouri at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling good. You're feeling so good that you keep the whole staff.
No, now listen to me.
Sam. Yeah.
No, I did not. That was not my hypothetical. It doesn't need to stay there. They're just that's a KJ thing, or, you know, who we keep putting this poor kid. What is he, 19?
Yeah.
Or 18 still, whatever he is, put all this on his shoulders. But damn it, Dylan. But,
yeah.
No, you can't. You can't. Mm. You can't. I see what you're doing, and I don't like this hypothetical.
Hey, hypotheticals suck.
I guess you would have a reason to say, yes, everything's going to be fine.
We did the same thing in Bielema's era with Rob Smith. Turned on quick. Defense showed out.
Hey, me and you both loved some Rob Smith there for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob Smith was looking good there for a minute.
Well, stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
No one here is saying that he did that. What are you talking about, Luke? We keep KJ.
He's saying,
yeah, we keep KJ.
He's saying KJ, like, transfer out kind of deal.
No. No. I'm telling you, talks have been had, man. Because
keep in mind, yeah, I mean, as a player and as a coach, if you've got a grand scheme of things that we aren't seeing, you definitely have to be 100% with your players. And if that's not what's
KJ
happening,
better be staying.
You are screwing up as a head coach if you're not like, hey, we suck for a reason.
Yeah, like, how would you do that? How would you have that conversation, though?
We suck for a reason, and it's because it's not you, and then the player's going to be like, but I'm here right now.
This was unintentional. You bookmarked that thing. I mean, Houston.
Yeah.
Holgorsen?
Yeah.
That's essentially what he's doing. This was not on purpose, but, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it does fit, and it's a little old. I mean, it's a little dated, but he went on a good thread there. I think we kind of just cleaned him out, though.
We did. It's fine. We've talked about the fact that King set out the season or whatever, but anyway, it's cleared out, so we can't really give much on that. But you have to be having that conversation. And there's Bielema guys that have to know, like, yeah, I screwed up coming here.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have. But if you're not having those conversations, do you even have those, like, blatant conversations with KJ, or is it kind of like a, trust me, dog, I got you?
I mean, honestly, if he's, you know, if he's where these tinfoil hat folks are in terms of his master scheme and plan, from what it sounds like, then this was being said in his house, in KJ Jefferson's house, on the recruiting trail last year.
That's a good point. It had to be, right?
Like, it's... He's
like, mama, listen, we're going to be bad next year. Don't be trying to talk your son into going to Mississippi State.
Right.
Like, this is a plan. That's a good point. And so, does that mean Craddock's keeping his stuff under wraps? Good God, this is terrible. Why can't we just be like 8-2 right now?
Because of math.
Math, yeah. 8-0. But this is all kind of crappy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what it is right now, though. I mean, we talked about it last time, liking a good coaching search. Those are always fun. It sucks that you're having to look for a coach, but at the same time, you know, a lot of stuff can come out. Hashtag we said it first. But if we are talking about this, at least it's something to look forward to.
Right.
You kind of open the show up like that. So I just hope that we go 3-1 over these next – I mean, obviously 4-0 would be fantastic. Any opportunity you get to ruin an LSU season is a good season. But we're also not that crazy here at the JRD Hawkcast. So hopefully we go 3-1. KJ lights it up. Everybody that we've been wanting to see lights it up, and we have some momentum going. Because I do believe momentum carries season to season.
Right. The thing, if they're in the opposite way, the year before last. If they're still out there, the sunshine pumpers and all that good folks that are going to sit there and tell me that the LSU game is different, it is different this year because LSU
a lot different.
LSU is a lot different in terms of where they're at. We're also a lot different from where we're at, and we don't have Houston Nutt there. If there was anyone that could get somebody up that was a lesser talent guy, because there's definitely times when we didn't have a team that should have competed with LSU, and they did. That's why there's games dubbed miracles for a reason. They weren't supposed to happen. Miracles not happening. Miracles not happen this year,
but it is. I think maybe we see, even no matter who's out there, maybe a little bit more than we've seen all year, but it's not.
All right, I got to do it. You see what he did. He done did it.
Who done did what?
Producer, look at that dang chat. The producer done come in with it, and he thinks, he's saying, hashtag war memorial. Stop it.
Yeah, we're done with that. So anyway, speaking of lesser teams and different teams, did you happen to see the Tyler Wilson video shared on?
Are we going to break down the game a little bit? I mean.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You want to do that just more in the pick'ems, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to do it now. I mean, we want to see KJ.
Yeah, well, there's also the John Stephen Jones side of things. And, again, I guess you did say you didn't want to. You're not a big fan of that, but I do.
Not the kid, just kind of the purpose of these games.
Just where we're at right now. But, gosh dang it. I feel like you could do something over there kind of like the Saints are doing with him. You cannot tell me that he can't be a Taysom Hill kind of guy and groom him to be there.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill has more touchdown catches than Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, now, hold on.
There's another.
We're talking in the passing game, like have him in the receiving side of things, or are you just sort of talking about the – we've mentioned the gimmick stuff every damn week, and he won't do it.
Everywhere. I mean, the kid can be a Swiss Army knife, I think. Just – and you're going to sit here and talk to me about gamers and getting juiced and John Oliver's and all of this other garbage. You can't tell me that that's not where that kid's at. The kid's a Razorback through and through. All the way from birth.
All the way from starting in the 1960s.
Yeah, exactly. So
before let him, but anyway.
Because he's got the dang talent. Let him. You cannot waste him on the sideline. But I'm also not saying he needs to be a starting quarterback in the SEC.
See, that's what's annoying, though. We don't know that. I mean, we think we do, but he deserved to be in there way before – last week.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably did. Definitely with the fact that he, already doesn't have a redshirt, right? He played more than four last year, right?
No, I think he only came in the North Texas game last year.
So he redshirted last year?
Yeah.
Okay. So redshirt's done. That was his redshirt year last year.
So what are you waiting on?
Yeah, this year it's all time, and you're just letting him burn. But he's also a for sure thing because, you know, he's going to stay here, but do something. You're supposed to be creative.
Yeah, exactly. That's what gets me and we...
Oh, I'm sorry. We do have fank punts and freaking Wildcats. That's
Wildcats
not creative.
With the guy that needs space, yeah.
We got punters shooting basketball shots out there to freaking defenders, but we can't get a...
Straight to them.
We can't get a utility guy to actually do something. Instead, we're going to... Oh, man, the other wide receiver passes weren't even good. I mean,
and we're, you know, the same conversation we had with Hammonds and Hayden, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, well, Hayden, was he hurt? He been hurt?
Yeah, he was a little banged up, and same with Hammonds a little bit and other stuff.
Well, Hammonds came back, and Hammonds has done nothing but taking snaps out of the backfield.
Out of the backfield, jet sweeps, just here's the
I mean, here's the thing with these gimmicky plays that we do run is they are unbelievably noticeable.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing surprising about him. Like, we haven't ran motion with Hammonds all game. We're going to put him in, run motion. Oh, my God, he got the ball. Who saw that coming?
It's I don't know. Like, again, you've said it, and I've got some experience on this side of things, but I'm not going to push it around there. Why on earth do you completely change your personnel and you do not set up or lead to any of these? If you're going to work on something, you have to set up these plays. You have to give the defense a look, even if it's in tape a few weeks ago, and then you give them that bite, and then that you got to do something, but that's not what they're doing.
You get bonus coaching points in NCAA when you run the setup play.
All right, fair enough. But
if you have
you can't just
John
install,
Steven Jones out there.
You can't just install a completely different personnel package and then be like, because the first thing defense is going to be like, didn't see this shit on tape.
Right.
Especially if it's...
And you're looking for the playmaker at that point, right? Yeah. I mean...
You're looking for the odd man, so...
Right, which is Hammonds in the scenario that we're talking about right now. But you need to... If you're going to talk about John Steven Jones, he would have to be used at a Taysom Hilltop scenario because he's going to have to be in there and not do nothing for 10 plays.
That's unfortunately how it has to go with this kind of crowd.
No, yeah, absolutely. It's fine. But knowing what we have in him, I mean, the dude's only downfall is he's like 5'4". That's literally it. Otherwise, he'd be a starting quarterback anywhere in the country. He's a baller.
Yep.
So, and this is what irritates me more than anything. This is us talking about the game, by the way.
Yeah.
But this is what irritates me more than anything is the fact that he has been talked about since he got on campus being the best RPO quarterback back there. And they put him in against Ala freaking Bama, and he drives down the field, and then they're like, hey, don't need you to step out here. We need a touchdown. And they got one.
Yeah.
But it was a pick six.
And then they got another one from him.
Well, they got one from him, right, but it's just – that is where I think – that's where my – thoughts of there is no master plan come in, because the whole season just looks like they are trying to figure it out. Like it's a whole new thing every single Saturday.
And he also, like, you got another guy, I don't know where he's at in terms of development because he did make a switch, but you got another guy that you can do some stuff with if you, you know, want to, you know, have a decoy and set up like I'm talking here. And Dalton Hyatt, we know the kid's got an arm and he can scoot a little bit. You announced that he converted to wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't have much time with him left.
What would 1 year after this, right?
Yeah.
So what's your plan, Stan? Did you convert him to, I mean, this isn't the NFL. You don't have to open up roster spots.
Yeah.
Converting meant nothing if you're not going to use him. I play the devil's advocate, but I do not believe that there is any kind of grand plan here. I think this plan may have kind of started to look more real, if there is one, may have started to look more realistic after probably the San Jose State game. And you're like, yeah, ain't going to happen this year.
I always find it funny that how fast the talking points, because I don't know if folks know it, and we're likely to be falling into that trap as well, because that's just how things go and how the media cycle works. But we are essentially sheep in every avenue, if you're talking political, but we're not getting into there, and even on the sports side, because the talking points that we are going to hear starting on Monday, we hear Saturday night as soon as the game's up via Twitter or whoever, maybe even the reporters that are in the room. It's amazing just how quick they can go into that kind of stuff, because I feel like one thing that I felt like probably would have got overlooked was the hustle that we saw from Treylon Burks on the pick six.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big
fumble.
Yeah, that was a big talking point in the presser on Monday. Now, I know mm-hmm. that showed out on tape and it probably sticks out to him, but it's like, what? Why? Like, that's something that it's just one of those deals where it kind of leans into it. And you're going to get talking points somehow, some way from the university. That's just how it is. And it's going to get sprinkled out, and that's what we're supposed to talk about, and that's what we're supposed to hang on to.
Like, something I've been saying after every game, man, is the quit is not in these kids this year. And I do think that that matters. I think that
in a majority of them. I mean, there's definitely been some lack of effort on some of them. I mean, but you're also not being realistic if you think these young kids are going to go 100% every game and every play. Sorry.
Right. Luke here is saying, the problem is if Morris doesn't do something, he won't have more time with any player. He'll be gone and more players will transfer. The transfer thing is definitely a very strong possibility, but I think there is a 0% chance he doesn't come back next year.
Right.
I don't think he's being fired. He could lose these last four, and he's not going to get fired. Or fortunately, I mean, you don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't know yet. Prove me wrong. Yeah, I'll just stick to that. Just prove me wrong.
That's what we're all hoping for, right?
I want to be so wrong on this. I really do.
That's us hanging on to these last four games. Like, if we go 3-1, you know, maybe something's happening.
All right, let's move on. You mentioned the Tyra Wilson post.
Well, he dropped a very ambiguous Petrino video. It was like a Petrino highlight video on Twitter 2 days ago. Was this yesterday? 2 days ago? Mm-hmm. By the time people hear this on Friday, 4 days ago, 3 days ago. But interesting. He did not create this video.
Nope.
We'll say that. I think the guy's name tagged on was like Jonathan or something. I didn't know who he was. But Wilson retweeted it with no caption or anything. Just kind of, I'm going to leave this right here for you. And I will admit it was awesome to watch. We are pretty far removed from a solid team, man. We're legitimately looking at like 2000. Well, what year was it that all that shit happened? 12? 11?
Yeah.
After the 11 season, I believe.
After the 11 going into 12.
Yeah. Thanks, Petrino. And, I don't really have Twitter dirt with this, but I did jump into those comments, and I shouldn't have. But people are saying basically he didn't need to be legally locked up, so what did he really do wrong? And we've touched on this in episodes. I think I don't even think the football season had started yet, but what are you willing? Well, actually, yeah, it was after the Anderson stuff. What are you willing to give up to be a successful program?
Yep.
And you and I both stand on, I do believe the good majority of the Razorback fans don't want to give up our morals to be a successful program. That can be in the aspect of recruiting, you know, shady recruiting habits. In Petrino's case, you have kids and a wife and you're going around screwing around on essentially all of them, really, the way I look at cheating. And I wouldn't want him here. I loved what we had. I think we were close to a contending team nationally. I mean, we did get up to number three that year, and both teams that we lost to were the teams that inevitably ended up in the national championship and showed us we were still not in that realm. But I don't give a damn what his accolades were, what bowl games we went to and didn't go to. It's not worth it to me. And I was kind of weirded out by the fact that Tyler Wilson shared that video, because you would think he doesn't even feel that way. I mean, Petrino screwed Tyler Wilson's career, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But he's also, do you take that as him supporting it, or was Wilson kind of showing more of this is what we used to be type thing? I mean, what were your thoughts when you saw that?
It was definitely unique because, you know, Tyler Wilson, he fills in and he's on that radio show from time to time in the morning during football. So it's not like he's clueless to what's going on, especially around here. You know, he listens to the calls that some were coming in and all that good stuff. He's obviously on Twitter. He's relatively active on there. But I think it was just kind of a glory kind of deal. And looking back, because if I was part of those teams, it was definitely something that I would enjoy looking back. And
for sure.
Unfortunately, with these kind of seasons, that's kind of where you got to be and hope that it comes back around to that kind of thing. But going back to the morals and ethic thing, when I was in the military, my first sergeant, my first supervisor that I ever had, and that's first space sergeant, not first sergeant. So the first one that I ever had, he would always say that you only have two things on your uniform. You got U.S. Air Force and you got your name. You represent both of them, and you better represent them right. And in that case, you have the same thing going on here at Arkansas. You got Arkansas across the chest, and you got your name on the back. So, obviously name on the back isn't what's happening with the coaches, but ultimately the coaches are representing Arkansas. So if you go back and you see that and that's what you want, that's who you're going to be proud of, then you should look at yourself in the mirror at that point, because there's some issues there.
Right.
And it just, I don't get how you can be right with that. And then go back and just look at how he's left every program. Louisville, the first step, and then when he went to Atlanta, how he left Atlanta. Granted, it was for us, but it didn't leave Atlanta in a good spot. Took them a while, and then Arkansas, hello,
yeah,
Louisville, and now you want to have him back because what, he apologized in Little Rock?
Well, I mean, to be fair, people have been wanting him back before that. That just fueled that fire for those people.
He wouldn't have gotten out of the state if he didn't do something like that, though.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, granted, he wouldn't do this because it would be the dumbest thing ever, but if he sat on there and been like, I mean, things happened and I can't take those back. All right, have a nice day.
Nice young lady.
Right.
Also, the boyfriend is the one that beat my ass, so I did not have a motorcycle wreck.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I wish I did more conditioning drills with the players. I don't know.
I've never been, when that happened, I don't know, something too that I saw was a whole lot of hashtag morally correct Jeff Long or something. I bet you we would have lost a pretty significant support system from the fan base if we didn't do something with him. I mean, some people were saying suspend him for the off season. What?
What?
Okay. I mean, isn't he kind of already? I mean, he got some recruiting, but and honestly, though, he wasn't that awesome of a recruiter either. I mean, a lot of that talent was in-state talent that we were dealing with. And
there was a lot of in-state talent during that bunch, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, technically speaking, Kobe Hamilton was Texarkana, Texas, but I'm from that area, and that's hog country. Like,
really, yeah. Is that where? Oh, no. That's not the football. The Arkansas side has the correct football team, right?
They're the Hogs.
Okay.
I don't think they're the Razorbacks.
There's one that get they rock the Hog.
They rock the Hog. Yeah, yeah, they got the likeness.
Before, yeah, yeah. We know how that went down. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I don't think he was that good of a recruiter, honestly. I mean, I think that showed up a lot on the defensive side during those years because there was a lot of shootouts. And
well, he was also here before Chad Morris. So, and Chad Morris has the best recruiting class at Arkansas. So,
right. And also, Dylan just defended Chad Morris over Petrino. So that tells you how Dylan feels about Petrino.
Dang. Dang. All right, moving on.
I still think that we are still feeling some effects from the Petrino era. I mean, because it got us Bielema. And Bielema got us Chad Morris. I mean, it's...
Would you say that's where the curse began?
Yes.
Because it is Halloween.
It is Halloween, and if I believed in curses, then that is absolutely when it happened. After the boyfriend beat his ass, he put some kind of bad juju on the university.
That ain't cool. But hey,
I know. Can you stop now, please? If you're listening by chance,
please. What we got to do? What do we have to do? Did you guys stay together or? Never
mind. Like where's everything at with that?
All right. Well, speaking of Halloween, you didn't respond, but you see that tweet game.
I liked it. I'm sorry for not responding.
The masses needed to know what the scariest Arkansas Razorback related Halloween costume is. And I think we did all right. We got some feedback on here. I definitely saw where it was at. We have a Arkansas Razorback player as one of the responses. Not a big fan of that, but my top two. Here it is. You ready for it?
Yep.
Chad Morris holding a contract extension.
That Woo! One was good. Yeah.
Oh. Definitely the scariest. So, if you didn't see mine, I said it was, you know, an actual play sheet, I believe.
Yeah, something about a play sheet. Yeah. The scariest thing to this coaching staff is a decent play sheet or a win. From
There we go. And a win. I forgot I added that in the second part in there. So
somebody responded with our record.
Touche.
That's a good one. We had actually two records. A ton of people talk. And then is this GIF from Friday?
No, I'm pretty sure that's where my name is Earl.
Oh, that is my name is Earl.
That's yeah.
And if I had to put one, it would be I got nothing.
I got nothing. Yeah, I believe that's what you said.
Yeah. So thanks for the feedback on that, guys.
Yeah.
And then
maybe I should have dressed up for Halloween this year and been a play sheet, and the only thing on there be the fake punt. Just have that written up. Oh my.
How about the play sheet and then a confused Joe Craddock look? Like, no. A Craddock in a post-game presser look.
Oh, man.
Sad. Like, you want to give the guy a hug. Like, did your mom ground you?
It's pretty much like they line up all his family pets and just, he's walking.
Anyway, no animals were hurt during the recording of this show. All right, hit us with that button.
Man, he said vanilla by design. I don't know how I could have worked it, but it would have been great to been a Halloween costume. That would have been vanilla by design. I don't know how I would have.
That's good out of you, Luke. Would it be?
What if I was vanilla and my wife dressed could be as design? I would literally.
You're dressed as Chad Morris.
Okay.
Holding a play sheet with a Bluebell vanilla ice cream picture on it.
Okay. I get it, but
Luke likes it.
It might be a little advanced, but I definitely
a little
would
advanced.
I would definitely eat all the ice cream.
That's not a real. You're not carrying around a real one. It'd melt on you.
No, that's why I would eat it.
That's why I would. Okay, you're not that big. Don't be talking all. Not in this weather. Yeah, it would not. It is cold out there.
Challenge accepted.
All right, I got some in the fridge. I bought for my daughter, who after her bought it said she didn't want any. So
North Dakota, 4 years. Let's ride.
You gonna go out there in your bathing suit and eat it?
I'll do it naked.
I will admit, you come to work And we're all bundled up, and you're like, what's up, guys? Nice day, huh?
Yeah, short sleeves, like,
right? Okay, we get it. You're in North Dakota for 17 years.
Sometimes I have to, you know, not wear shorts.
Oh. Every day at work.
Yeah. I know. I can't do our job in not pants. But.
Right.
What button?
Hit that button.
This one?
Mailbag.
Short and sweet from Andy this week.
I know. And I look, someone stole his stuff. This can't be Andy.
It
can't be Andy.
But Andy says, well, actually, now think about it. Andy's a post-game texter.
Mm-hmm.
A during game texter.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to know, Andy, in your next response, please tell me what your drink of choice is. But he says, all right, boys, final score. And this is from Andy. I repeat this. Arkansas, 23. Mississippi State, 22. Andy has us winning this weekend, and he says, John Stephen Jones for the win. I'm cool with everything except for that last sentence.
Yeah, well, we already touched on that one.
Right.
But, yeah, so we're going to need kind of an authentication to make sure. We definitely have to get some verification that this is Andy. This cannot be Andy from Memphis.
Andy, the keyword is Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Because that's what you be drinking.
It's the cooler.
Not only does he have us covering the 7.5-point spread, he has us winning.
I'd also like to point out your name is on the rough cuts almost as much as mine. You got some pick'em for us this week?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, that's good, because you didn't put it in the rundown, and you're making me do this shit blind again.
Yeah, well, keeps you on your toes. I feel like I texted you a few of them, though, so there's that.
You did text me a few of them.
All right, so let's get after it. We'll lead it off. I think they're still calling this the world's largest cocktail party. Georgia versus Florida at Jacksonville, because Jaguars are in London. 2:30. Georgia is a 6.5-point favorite.
I don't like Florida. I think Florida is consistently overrated.
Yeah.
But this is a rivalry game. Florida does have a little momentum. Georgia does not. I will take Florida.
I will take Georgia. All right.
Right off the bat, disagreements.
Yeah. All right. So here it is. I like to dub this one, still not coaching at Arkansas Bowl. SMU versus Memphis. Memphis is a 6-point favorite, and College Game Day is there, and so will be Andy.
Oh, yeah, Andy's going to be in Game Day. That's right.
Yep. If you want to throw up a JRD Hogcast sign, we'd be all for it. Give us a shout out. Yep.
Listen, get us to that 25,000 download mark.
Yes, sir.
That's at Memphis, so I will take, I think, SMU gets humbled.
I would have to agree. Norvell gets it.
Oh, but Norvell, he got an SEC win. He gonna win.
Yeah, there it is.
Anyway, yeah.
Memphis. All right. Make sure this isn't a lock. This was the first one you sent me. This isn't you found a new one? All right.
Yeah.
So moving over to the Pac-12, we've got number 7, Oregon, visiting USC, and Oregon is a 4.5-point favorite.
Oregon.
All right.
That's the weirdest spread out of all the top 25 teams playing that I found.
All right. Moving on, your Arkansas Razorbacks are a underdog. Could you believe it? 7.5-point home at underdog home against Mississippi State.
You know what would make this easier?
What's that?
We knew what the hell was going on in the quarterback position. But I'm holding faith. Even if John Stephen Jones is the quarterback and it's not KJ, but it's not Starkle or Hicks, Arkansas gets its SEC win. At homecoming, Kanan's going to fill that hog pen up, and we're going to show a little bit of pride that's left in this season.
Arkansas. That's all I'm going to say. Arkansas.
That's all needs to be said, buddy.
All right. You want to hit us with your lock?
Yeah, tell me what it is.
What? The one you picked?
I don't even remember.
All right.
I can't remember.
Well, I got Utah and Washington here. Utah being a 3-point favorite at Washington.
Yes, sir. That was what was yours? Go ahead.
I didn't pick them. I'm not picking this one. It's your lock.
What'd you tell me it was?
Utah versus Washington?
No, sir. That's yours.
That's not mine.
All right. Well, that will be part of the regular spreads because that ain't mine.
Well, I ain't going to pick it.
I ain't going to pick it. Mine is Virginia Tech at Notre Dame.
I did see that one. I bet.
Notre Dame is a 17.5-point favorite, and I'm taking Virginia Tech.
Okay. What? Okay. Calm down, Luke. Anywho, my lock, Boise State, is traveling to the powerhouse that we know of, San Jose State.
I saw that one.
Boise State is a 17-point favorite, and they cover, and yeah.
All right, I almost picked that one, Dylan.
I was really close to that.
Really close to that.
You sift through all that mud and you get those written down, Luke.
Yeah, what a cluster. Hey, that's part of live recording.
Yeah, we don't cut stuff out.
We don't cut stuff out.
I
don't know. Dylan, he said before the show started, or at the beginning of the show, that he was hitting some sauce or something. Maybe he got back into it. Because you definitely sent me that Washington game.
Maybe. maybe. It was a late scratch, because whatever. So.
Okay, Luke. Jesus. Get off your high horse. We're about to start having to put him in.
Yeah.
As much as he talks, we're going to start putting him in.
Yeah, we might. If we do some live stream stuff, you might have to watch out, because this might be flying free here.
I promise you, if we start doing live feed stuff, I am not going to be blitzed out of my mind.
Fair enough. Anything for us while we head out here?
Hey, man, let's hold on to that hope, buddy.
We're
going to get that dub.
Hold on to that hope. Basketball season right around the corner. Baseball.
Also, shout out Muscleman and your wife for that Halloween costume. That was sick.
That was good. Shout out to the soccer team for winning the SEC championship as well. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to Luke, who stays hidden on the chat. Thanks for everything you do. Happy Halloween. Go Hogs. We might get an SEC win. Until next time. Woo pigs. Bragging about my team. I got the jersey and the hat. Sometimes I take it to extreme. Game day comes around, you'll see a little pride on my face. 'Cause I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl won't be.